T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey gang, it's the Nerds Podcast number 243. I'm up in San Francisco. We performed at Outside Lands, the big music festival, on Saturday, and did Nerdist Day. It was really, really super fun. Neil Patrick Harris was there talking about his new puppet show for the Nerdist Channel, and Dave Koechner and Jonah Ray and Pete Holmes and Justin Willman. It was a super, super, super fun show. Ron Funches. I'm still remembering people who were there. We had an amazing time. So if you came out, thank you for that. I would like to say this episode of Nerdist Podcast is brought to you by Amazon. So if you want to support the show, just go to the episodes page on Nerdist.com and find the episode. There's a link there to Amazon. You just click on the banner and then you just shop the way you normally would. And then you support the show. It's that simple. This really affects your life in no way, except you have to click a couple extra times. But that's it. I know you have a crazy, fast-paced lifestyle that doesn't... You're going to have to schedule those extra clicks. But if you do it, we'll really appreciate it. But if not, no worries. I'm a no-pressure guy. I'm a completely no-pressure guy. What are you doing over there?
I'm looking at tattoos that you don't want me to get.
Please, you don't need to get another tattoo.
There's so many tattoos I want.
I know.
Why are you putting me in this intro? No one wants to hear my voice. What are you doing?
No, because now everyone's going to be like, Joe Glow, you should get another tattoo.
Hey, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Eat Mop.
Eat Mop who? Eat Mop.
A good contributor. To this podcast.
Is that how you get me to stop talking to you about tattoos? Is a knock knock poop joke?
It's funny though.
Well, then get that tattooed across your back.
My poo.
Oh, Jesus.
So good.
Wait, but now that we're talking about it, can I seriously eat it?
No.
All right.
I don't actually poop. I'm a girl.
Thank you for your input, Chloe Dykstra.
You're welcome, Chris Hardwick.
This episode is a. What the fuck?
What is this podcast? Which one is this?
There's food in your teeth. Ow.
There isn't.
There's food in your teeth for the intro
either.
Of this podcast.
I don't eat
There's
or
food
poop.
In your teeth at the intro of this podcast. People can hear that little piece of lettuce.
There you go. It's gone.
Oh, good. And a sigh of relief echoes across the podcast landscape. Aisha Tyler was a guest on the Nerdist television show on BBC America, which I believe is available on iTunes if you're interested. Well, we recorded a full hour interview with Aisha for the Nerdist TV show, and so this is the unedited version of that. If you see it on the show, it's like 4 or 5 minutes long, but this is the full unedited business. And you should also check out Girl on Guy, Aisha's podcast, which is great. I adore her. She's super cool. And here you go, Nerdist Podcast episode number 243. With Aisha Tyler.
Woo!
Maybe you should get that little piece of lettuce tattooed on your tooth.
Maybe you should get that bat out of the cave.
What bat in the cave?
You got a little bat.
Right I don't have a bat in the cave. Oh, Batman, would you like to come out of the cave? Oh, Batman, please come out of your nose cave. Come back. Come back for Booger Bane.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Tyler, thank you for coming here to play games in my fake living room.
I love it. It's almost as nice as a real living room.
Yeah, thank you.
Without
this is Shogun Cat.
Oh, hi Shogun Cat.
Mm-hmm. This is Tiamat. You mock him, and then
he's pay way from Kill Bill.
He's gonna slice your carotid artery.
He's gonna with his tiny claw. That would happen because I'd be like, oh, kitty, so cute, and then he would end my
life. That's how they get you.
That's how they do it every time.
That's how they get you.
So mean. And then somebody from Skyrim. Is
Tiamat.
This a Skyrim?
No, there are no three-headed dragons in Skyrim.
Well, there should be.
I agree with you.
I would play Skyrim if there were three-headed.
Have you not played Skyrim?
No, because you harassed me about it.
I did.
I felt railroaded.
Skyrim. Skyrass. I skarassed you.
You did skarass me to play Skyrim.
Skyrim is a commitment.
Yes.
I started playing Skyrim the beginning of November, the day it came out.
Yeah.
And I'm still playing Skyrim.
The last time that happened to me was Fallout 3. I started it in like February and played it into the following year. Into the following year. Finished the entire campaign, all of the off-campaign missions, and then was just running around killing super mutants and picking up caps to put in my tiny house in Megaton. Why?
Because, you know, it's what I realized is that there's something. Now Skyrim has become a very comfortable environment for me.
Yes, yes.
And when you've
mastered it.
You know, when I hear the game music, it just relaxes me, like the music in the game, and I see all the little.
And I liked, I think the well-scored games make you feel something very specific. Like Fallout had that, like, nostalgic music. It made you feel sad and yet optimistic. It was great. I'd sing along. I didn't even know the words. You know, I can't even remember any of them now. But it was.
It was probably like Fallout.
No, it wasn't.
It was like
real songs from the 50s. Like, so you're in the future. It's a nuclear future, but yet everyone still listens to music on vinyl. Maybe because everything else has been destroyed, or maybe because they like to fuck with your sense of time and make you feel confused and break you down, and then it's all of a sudden fucking Stockholm syndrome.
I want to talk about E3 a little bit.
Yeah, let's.
First of all, it seems like there are a lot of exciting games coming out.
There were good games.
Dishonored was a game that looks...
I didn't look at it or play it, but
that
everybody
I heard
talked about
looks
it.
Looks really good.
Yes. Totally new IP. People are freaking out. And is that Bethesda?
It's Bethesda,
yeah. They make beautiful games.
They really do make beautiful games, and it looked like the people that I know that played it said that it was a really lovely
Everybody
experience.
Said it was awesome that I talked to.
Yeah. What else did you like?
I played... first of all, let me say about E3 that every year at the end of E3, I'm filled with like an immense sadness, because before I'm like, I'm gonna go and play everything.
Yeah.
And this is the year I go play every single thing. And then every year I make it to like one or two booths and I'm just like filled with just like deep, deep regret.
Yeah.
And I've never been able to master like getting to E3 for the whole thing. I played Gears of War Judgment. I love that franchise and that was super fun. You get to play now as either Locust or as the Cog, and I played as a Cog and I got shot a lot by people who spend the whole time at E3 playing games, except for me, who comes in for 2 hours. And then I played all the UB games, or all the UB shooters.
Yeah.
Playing a little car driving game. So, or dancing. Fake dancing.
What's wrong with that?
Stuff it.
That's video
I can
gaming.
Do real dancing.
That's video gaming. I don't, there was a weird internet thing that happened with the Ubisoft.
There was excitement.
And the thing is, I almost co-hosted that with you.
I thought you were. I remember I wrote you and I said, "Are you?" I heard that it was going to be you and me, which was very exciting.
Yeah.
Got like moderately erect, and then not all the way, just like a half,
just a
like
semi,
a half chubby,
a semi,
for like a minute, and then I was like,
a girl semi,
over a girl semi,
yeah,
which I just go around girl semi all the time, pretty much. This is how I live. But
girl semi is my Tumblr, where I just post pictures of girl semis.
Please make that happen.
It's
now.
it's like a partially inflated balloon.
That's excellent.
Mash two of them.
Or like
together.
When you squeeze one of those stress balls and the little
like...
eyes come out like that. Just like that.
That's how you're supposed to handle a vagina, right?
Just squeezes,
squeeze it like a stress ball and the top part comes out.
No, don't do that.
Oh man,
I've
been going about this all wrong.
So wrong.
The last time I did that 15 years ago.
Diagram.
Please do.
Okay.
I need a diagram.
So I was very excited about that, because that was me, you and me. And obviously we have a great rapport. We wouldn't even talk about games. We just talked to
Oh, sorry, there's a thing here we're supposed to announcements.
Why are we here, French people? But then when I showed up, it was not you.
Yeah, I don't know. They offered me this thing to do it, and I heard you were doing it. I was like, oh my god, I gotta do it.
I was so excited.
And then they took the offer back.
That's really.
And they were like, well, we're going to go in a different direction. And so I guess my assumption is that they brought this just the guy on who did it.
Toby Turner.
Because they were like, well, he's probably more in the game. They probably felt he was more in the game space.
That might have been correct, because he has like a gaming channel.
He has a huge gaming channel. Yeah. And so it totally, I never take that stuff personally. I'm like, they probably just found someone better to do it.
No, not better.
Well, better in the, just a totally different direction.
You're running your empire anyway.
I don't have time to. but I have to say, I was a little relieved because the internet totally went after it. And I don't know which, I didn't think was really that fair.
Well, the internet is full of hate.
Full of hate.
Have you noticed full of hate?
Full of hate. And these, what I think people need to understand about these types of situations is that, like brand-driven conferences and events, there's very specific language.
Yes.
You, as a performer,
you're following a script.
You're not allowed to really riff. And if you do, then they'll usually say like, can you just stick to the thing, because they have very specific messaging.
I will say, whenever I went off script, that was the stuff that played.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's interesting. Like, I will say that afterwards, everything I heard on the day and like on Gaff and stuff like that, like, I think for the internet, if you get like 60% positive, that's like an A+.
Yeah, you have to remember with the internet that you have to grade it like a term paper or something.
Yes.
We're like, I still got a 80%. That's still B-. That's all right.
Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah, for the internet, that's good.
Yes, and also it takes like five stars to counteract one like crazy racist misogynist comment.
Because you could rescue a baby from a burning building and put it on YouTube, and still like 4% of the people will be like, asshole.
Fuck babies.
And you're like, what the?
Yeah,
so well,
like,
thumbs
I fucking
down?
Hate babies.
Who
yeah.
thumbs down?
Who thumbs down saving a baby?
I don't know, but people do.
What a dick. You saved that baby.
Why would you save that? That baby probably would have been a drug dealer.
Yeah, that baby hates you. That baby smells bad.
But,
so it was actually positive, and a lot of people, especially like actual real bloggers, not just like internet douchebags, were saying that like E3 had won the conference. Watch Dogs got the longest ovation I've ever seen at a presser. And most people said it was the longest ovation they've ever seen. Like, people spontaneously clapped for like 3 minutes. They went crazy. But afterward, and I got to tell you, it was actually predominantly positive, but it's the things that were negative really stuck in my craw. I'm a stand-up comedian. If there are 299 people laughing and the 300th person is not, that's
all I can see. You're going to focus in on that guy.
It's like a fucking fishbone in my neck. And it was really one person wrote, I'm sick of them hiring these pretty actresses who probably never held a controller in their life. That made me nuts.
To me, I mean, they could say almost
anything
else, but when they are attacking your core with information that could not be further from the truth.
Counteracted with one Google. Just Google it.
One Google, and it's you take it personally because it's a lazy attack.
Yeah.
And it also, someone who's so sure about, like, well, they obviously are doing this. Like, you don't know what you're talking about. Like, it makes you crazy as a kind of perfectionist as a performer.
Totally.
It's the one thing that's in your skin.
And as a gamer, it was fine. Like, I'm a comic, so it's fine if people say they don't think I'm funny. It's fine if people say that I'm not their cup of tea. That's going to happen. I don't care. It was the people who were saying I wasn't a game. Like, I'd never played
they
a
might
game
as
before.
They might as well say.
I didn't know what I was talking about.
They might as well say, you're not a woman. Like,
exactly.
You on that deep level.
Your body is not made up of DNA and information.
Yeah, like, what are you talking about?
Oh, I mean, and like, you know how when something just simmers, like literally, like over several days, I just kept thinking about it. It made me madder and madder and madder. And I thought, I'm just going to write a little response to the people who think I don't play. I don't care anything about what you think about my performance,
right.
Whatever. You like, you don't like it, whatever. I still did it. I had a great time. I got paid. But don't say I don't play. Don't say I'm not a gamer.
And I have to say, even though I'm not happy I'm bummed that you had to have that experience, I was thrilled that what you made out of it was this really great letter to basically the internet that just said, like, hey, motherfucker.
Go fuck yourself.
go, I think you ended it with GFYS.
Pretty much, yeah. Please, and fuck yourself.
I just want to see if I can...
Can you pull it up?
I want to see if I can pull it up. Yeah, just give me a second to...
I was like around my house writing and working and just like steaming and stewing and steaming.
probably the most... And for me, it would have been the most energy I had devoted to a writing project in a really long time.
I literally was like, what's that dog? What's that angry dog? And I was like, I literally was like walking around the house talking to myself. Who's that dog? What's his name?
Which dog? Do you mean from
like Hanna-Barbera?
Yeah, that was Snipes. No, Snide the Whiplash, Dudley. Muttley. Yeah, Snidely Whiplash. I think it was Snidely Whiplash.
And Muttley was his sidekick.
And then he would,
yeah. And I was literally Muttley, like, just, son of Sam, I'm playing. Blah, blah. And I actually was on the floor. I took a million pictures of fans that day. I played Far Cry 3. I played the new Zombie U. Like, I played all these games. I was down on the floor, playing games all day.
You probably had to put the controller down to write this this letter, which...
Yes.
Which, first of all, is really funny. I used to picture, like, super smiley picture here in the avatar.
Oh, my Facebook thing. And then at the bottom, I'm holding a giant Lancer. Yeah. A giant Gears Lancer.
And you have a look on your face like, I will gut you with this.
I will chainsaw you from next to
I will table. Cut you in half and then shoot the pieces
I will take you,
into
I will
more pieces.
You, and then I'll urinate on your carcass.
I love this because this was not only a response to the doubters, but also a real love letter to gaming itself. And it basically, the subject is just Dear Gamers, and it just says, I play. That's the first line. I play since I was a little kid, since I begged my dad to buy me a Nintendo LCD Donkey Kong Jr., since I blew through 3 weeks' allowances playing Defender of the Laundromat, since you were a twinge in the left side of your daddy's underoos. The left side is always the more dangerous side.
Yeah, that's the side that spurts out the spurts out the dick.
That's where some of the turned sperm comes
from. If you want a troll, just shoot out your left side.
Everyone knows that trolls come from the left nut.
Left nut.
That guy's a left nut.
Yeah,
you can tell he's a left nut. I've been a gamer since I made friends with a girl in the fifth grade just to get her Atari, since I missed the bus playing Galaga after school, since I missed the start of Return of the Jedi playing Tempest in the theater lobby. You think you know, you don't know. And it's a beautiful letter that, for anyone who's ever been kind of like, yeah, shut up, just like, fuck you, that's what I would want to say.
Yeah, totally.
And
it was funny because I wanted, like, when I sat down to write it, I was really like, what? When did I first start playing games? And I was really, really young. I mean, this wasn't something that, like, I was like, oh, I think I'll get an Xbox. You know what I mean? It was like, I've been playing my whole life. I've always loved it. And that Donkey Kong LCD, I would get thrown out of class all the time.
It was harder to conceal those.
Because they were...
Yeah. And also they were clunkier.
They were huge.
You couldn't just...
But I would like, you could put your jacket around it.
Yeah.
And stick your hands inside your jacket. I just gotta finish this level.
You better be masturbating over there, Miss Tyler. I am. Was your first memory arcade games, or was your first memory
arcade. Yeah. Standing arcade games. My dad used to take me to this huge arcade in San Francisco, and like, you know, this is like a dad's idea of like a good activity for their kid. Be like, look, here's $20 in quarters. Don't talk to strangers. Daddy's got a date. I'll be back in 3 hours. Well, go give me a piece. I'll be back in the kitchen. Don't talk to anybody. Don't leave. And I would just wail. And my dad and I still to this day, like, he loved Ms. Pac-Man. That was always his game. So he'll sometimes go play Ms. Pac-Man and hold the phone up to the machine while he's playing.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah. You know, it's just always been a part of my life since I was so young.
What was your first game?
I actually think the first game I played was Pong.
Mine too.
Yeah, definitely Pong.
Mine too.
And then Asteroids, and then Ms. Pac-Man, and then there was a Defender game at the laundromat across the street from my house that I would just wail on and just own, and I would line the quarters up and fuck you. Go fucking dry your clothes. You're never getting on
this
machine.
Are these your quarters? Yes.
You're never getting on this machine. I'm going to urinate on it like a dog. I ruin it for everybody.
You're going to mark.
You never get on this
machine. Sorry, Aisha's marked Defender.
And then just like that. Yeah, exactly.
I loved Space Invaders came, I think for me, I think it was Pong and then Asteroids and then Space Invaders. Mm-hmm. And Space Invaders, they tried to make it color, so they put the four colored strip filter
on
the screen.
Over the white screen.
And it just like got in the way. It
was Galaga was just
Galaga was pretty revolutionary. Galaga and Defender, because in Defender you could switch directions.
You could switch directions and you could go back and forth and you could evade and you just have like cramps in your upper arms just from like gripping and sweating all over the machine. I loved that game so much. And you'd get that kind of like gamer leg, you know what I mean? Where you'd be like, I loved it. I loved it.
Defender was always, the thing that irritated me about Defender was that it wasn't, I don't remember it being as much of a pattern-based game like Pac-Man or Galaga where you could recognize patterns
Which was great about it. I felt like it always felt new. I felt like there was like not four-dimensional play, but you could go up, you could move up, down, back, and forward. So you could really be more kind of elegant with your gameplay. And instead of that just like back and forth, you always knew where the birds or the bees or the, you know, the Asteroid, I felt like, was there ever pattern with Asteroid?
No, there wasn't. Well, there might have been.
The rocks would break up and kind of go crazy.
The rocks would break up, and so I think it would have just, there might have been some sort of a pattern with the way that the rocks came out.
Yeah.
But it just, it was too hard to, because every time you would hit the thrust.
Too far. You go too far.
Yeah, you just.
You gotta be a light touch. Light touch with asteroids.
And then hyperspace, we learned, you could explode.
Yeah.
If you hyperspace, you could just blow up.
You did it to yourself.
It's
man.
A crapshoot.
Space is a dangerous place.
It's really hard. You don't know if you're gonna. Let's make the jump. We're all dead. Missile Command and Tempest were two other games that it.
And you know what I really like? This is like off brand for me in terms of gaming because I just like to shoot things. But Qbert, I liked Qbert because I liked when
great.
You died in Qbert, the machine would shake like you'd fall into the bottom of the cabinet.
And it would swear at
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I loved that.
Did you see the trailer for Wreck-It Ralph?
No.
You haven't seen the trailer for Wreck-It Ralph?
What? No.
Oh.
When? Who?
Someone
why?
Pull up, please.
There's not even one computer device in here. People are reading analog materials.
Do you have Wi-Fi? Can you get Wi-Fi over there? Someone get the trailer for Wreck-It Ralph so I can show it to Aisha.
Can you get it on your iPhone? I can get it on my iPhone.
It's just that there's barely even an edge network in this room that we're in right now. So
is this just an O? Do you get an O on your phone?
You get the O, which is actually the 2G network.
Which is not actually.
No, it's the 1G network. The O is the first generation data network.
Really?
Yeah, that's what that O is.
It's like we're in Europe.
It is a little bit. I think it's more like, oh, you want to use the internet? No.
No. Ost is the second letter in no.
It should just say no.
It should just say no. Just no. Say no, like no service. $5, but no service.
Oh, did you get it?
All right.
Oh, I don't know what any of the... Does someone have credentials? There's no... okay, so I'll show you Wreck-It Ralph in a minute.
What were we talking about?
So when did you make the... I had the Atari 20... I got the Atari 2600.
Yeah, I came very late to console gaming.
Okay.
So I was a huge arcade enthusiast for a very long time, and as an adult... had like you know little baby what is it, PSP I had like I look yeah. all handheld stuff. I thought if I go back to consoles I will never get anything done again because I love it so much.
Yeah.
And it was like that when I finally hooked up my Xbox. There were like the first game I played was Halo, and I played it pretty much like 8-10 hours a day mm-hmm. for months, and I would get home at night and I'd play till 4 a.m. every day, and it was really a problem. Like it was a problem, I'm not gonna lie. Like I was like, it's 4:30 on a Tuesday. I'm a grown ass woman with a mortgage. This is not okay. You know, I'd come into the door and I'd go, oh. I'd eat dinner in front of the TV. I mean, it was. I'd go to bed and I'd see that fucking red reticle when I close my eyes.
I had to put gaming down for a while because I was really having problems.
It's a problem.
With it.
That's why I don't want to play like RPGs because I feel like Fallout really ate my life. On a campaign, there's a beginning and an end. As soon as you go into open world gaming, as soon as you go into role playing, it just owns you, you know? And so I don't avoid them entirely, but I fear them.
Well, yeah, especially as these games become more robust and the worlds become more detailed, then it's just like...
And you get emotionally...
40 hours, 80 hours of gameplay. I feel like there's something hanging out of my nose. I apologize.
It's your finger.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is there a bat in the cave?
Is there a
bat in the old cave?
No boogies, no boogies.
Boogie Nights?
No boogies.
Anybody?
Boogies.
Did you get it?
Yeah. Oh, it's great.
Yeah,
wow.
See?
Isn't it exciting when you see something that feels like a new idea?
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, like, every single person who's ever played a video game since 1970 is going to go see that?
They're absolutely going to go see that.
That looks
That
awesome.
Wasn't really for the piece. I just wanted to show you that because I was excited.
I enjoyed it, though. Let's keep it in. Let's keep 2.5 minutes of us looking at a screen in the
No
piece.
Talking.
Let's keep it
it's
in.
It's a two-minute reaction video.
I was giving some very moderately interesting color commentary.
Oh, look at that. Yeah, there's that guy.
You can't see this stuff.
So when did you pick gaming back up again?
Maybe like 1999 or 2000.
But I didn't, you know.
But wait a minute. But I was doing. But no, that's not true because that's when I picked up console gaming.
Okay.
But all through college, I was playing on my computer. So I was playing like Tetris and Leisure Suit Larry and like all of the like floppy and like
sure.
three
like
and a half inch disc games.
Kind of
yeah,
games,
exactly.
Myst.
And then Myst, played every single iteration of Myst, Myst, Myst 2, Riven, Riven mm-hmm. 2, like all of those games. Actually, the last Myst was it Myst 3? I didn't finish. I got bored. So many puzzles. I had to get a notebook out.
Really
and
pretty,
down,
though.
Oh, so pretty. So beautiful. Riven was my favorite out of all. The first Myst and then Riven were my favorite of that series. And then Tomb Raider. I played Tomb Raider on my computer, on my old, like, iMac.
Mm-hmm.
So there was never a lull in my gaming. But I avoided console gaming specifically because I feared it. I definitely feared. I feared what it was going to do to my life. I will say, in retrospect, it's only improved it in every way.
Sure.
But I did feel like it was going to affect my productivity because I knew how much I loved games. And even when we'd be playing Tomb Raider, it would just be like, don't, you know, just go into the office, turn out the lights, sit in here until 2 a.m. every night. And you know, just mama got to pay the bills.
Well, and you were working that all that time too.
Yeah.
And for, so I didn't really, until we became friends, you know, like a year ago or so, I didn't really know how, did you keep that? Did you purposely keep that on the down low, or was there just not really a case where, was there just not really an instance where you were able to talk about
it? I think it was more like that. Like, there was never an opportunity for me to bring it up. I mean, I was playing, and I would talk about it. And then what happened? What happened was I was tweeting or posting or something about loving Halo, and just people started to smell it. And so then there was more of an opportunity to talk about it. But it was really like, oh, I just play this, I'm so into it, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then, like, eventually, like, I started getting asked to come and do stuff and talk about it a little bit more. And I think it, you know, it was just kind of a natural thing. But it wasn't like someone was like, hey, come to our show. And I was like, oh, video games are awesome.
do you feel that sort of with the sort of trendiness of what, you know, like that kind of archetypal nerdy thing is...
It does feel like a trend now, doesn't it?
Do you feel, which, you know, is... fine, and it's, I mean, like, you know, the show's called The Nerdist, so like, we, you know, I guess
you're riding that wave
we're
of trendiness.
Partially to blame
go
for that.
Nuts, sweetened frozen coffee drink of a website.
I mean, the good part about that is, I think, like, you know, we get because people are sinking money into like games and comic book movies and like that, we're, you know, we're getting really powerful and great pieces and you know, like, great content out of that. Of course, the downside is now, you know, so many people are like, yeah, I'm just a nerd. And so I guess it is hard for people to discern, like, who's authentic and who's full of shit.
Right.
And, you know, I think...
And I also feel like I've always talked about it in my act. Like, you can go back and look at tape from my stand-up act from, like, 1993, where I talk about what a, like, a massive, like... Not antisocial, asocial, like total social pariah I was for almost all of my childhood. I was the only black kid in my school until I was 15 years old. I've been this tall since I was 7 years old. Literally, I was like a 5'10 third grader.
Oh my God.
Giant glasses. My parents didn't believe in television. I was obsessed with sci-fi and pathology books. I would go to the library on Saturday and look at goiters and tumors. I'm not fucking around.
That's amazing.
I was a fucking, like, nerd is cute. I was not a nerd. I was a dork.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was, because I think nerd has got this kind of, it's finally got this kind of, like, you chose to be an outsider. Like, there was some aspect of your outsidership that's cool. Yeah. I was just on the outside.
Yeah.
And so, I literally, like, I didn't have any, I really did not have any friends until I was, like, very, very old. And so my weekends were, like, when we finally got a TV, I'd watch cartoons. But before we had a TV, I'd get up, I'd read. I'd have my parents take me to the library and leave me at the library, where I would read for most of the afternoon. And then I would buy, like, maybe around 3 o'clock, like a matinee ticket. And then I would go to the movie theater and, like, watch 3 movies, like, sneak from theater to theater. And in between, I'd play video games in the lobby.
Oh, my gosh.
That was my life. That was my Saturday. I was, a total loner. And so... But it didn't seem like it was something to be proud of for a long part of my life.
You were like a little nerd hobo.
I was a sad nerd hobo, and I had a little bag of hot dogs on a stick, along and with some giant pathology books
and some 2600 cartridges.
And I liked the pathology books that were too heavy to hold. You have to, like, go put them over at, like, the podium and read them standing up because they weighed like 30 pounds.
Goiters in combat.
Goiters in combat.
And adventure and super.
So yeah, I mean, I was, and so for me, maybe. Like, for some people, they feel like, oh, she didn't talk about she's an adult. Well, I don't think there was ever a context for me to talk about other than in my stand-up, where I would talk constantly about being just a very unpopular kid.
Yeah.
I've written about it in books. I did a post about it on MySpace. And if you're thinking about posting on MySpace, you understand that was a long fucking time ago.
That's right.
About how what a nerd I was and how...
Everyone's on Friendster now.
Are they?
Yeah, everyone's...
Not Foursquare? I don't even know. I don't even understand the internet.
Everyone's on the Friendster now, right, guys? Friendster? You guys on Friendster? Yeah,
I am actually on WoW, which is the late.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, never mind. WoW, which is like 6 months. Like the late CompuServe.
There was so late.
It's like late iteration CompuServe.
Oh, I wish I had held on to like a Prodigy email address. You could probably buy them
now.
Oh,
I had a Netcom. I had a Netcom address until like 2 years ago.
Really?
I had a 20-year-old. I had the same email address that I had in college until 2 years ago.
Oh, my God. That's
yeah,
amazing.
But it wasn't AOL because that's lame.
I want to know... what you know, is there a sort of a weird prejudice for, because, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, you're a very pretty lady, and so I think a lot of people are automatically biased to feel like, well, she's a pretty black lady. How could she be a gamer?
The pretties and the blacks. The pretties and the blacks are teaming up to take away our Caucasian rights.
She's a pretty lady. How could she possibly be a gamer? She's another one of these. You know, do you feel like in a weird way that kind of you know, like compromises be like who you are to people, and they just don't get the full picture.
Totally. I mean, two things. The first thing I'll say is that on some level, I'm going to say three things. The first thing I'll say is that on some level, I don't give a shit. Like, yeah. I've always just been who I've been. Mm-hmm. And it took me a really long time to get to a point where I didn't care. Mm-hmm. And I was just, I mean, because you come into stand-up, and immediately, the minute you stand on stage, you get judged. The minute you walk out, people are going to decide what's going to come out of your mouth, how funny you're going to be. And they always judge women in that way. And so, like, for the first, like, maybe eight, I'm in my 19th year doing stand-up. For, like, sure. The first maybe 8 to 10 years, I dressed like a dude completely. Like, I mean, like, I used to dress like baggy pants and combat boots because I really wanted people to hear what I was saying and not think about how I looked. Yeah. It was only when I got strong enough and confident enough to feel like I can be funny in any context that I started to look more like a girl. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even wear makeup. I got hit on by so many lesbians. I mean, just pussy falling out of the sky. I swear to God. Not enough pockets to put the pussy in.
I don't. That should be the name of your album. Tyler, not enough pockets to put the pussy in.
There really aren't. I just.
God, I've only got four.
I need to get Andy Richter's puppy jacket, take out the puppies and put in the pussy.
Everyone, Aisha Tyler's pussy jacket.
Yes! That is copyrighted.
That's
please
the name.
Don't
that's
try
to be the name of my band.
Register that domain because that's my domain.
Aisha Tyler's
registered,
pussy
it's
pocket.
Already registered.
Pussy jacket.
Pussy jacket. Pussy jacket.
Pussy jackets.
Oh God, that sounds like a good time. I got extra. Yeah, I got so much. I can't. I'm not going to be able to eat it all.
It's falling out of the sky.
I'm stuffed.
Falling out of the sky.
Extra pussy.
Still full of pussy right now.
Where are we going?
I don't know. It's good. I can't use any of that, but this is fun for me.
So I've been used to being judged for a long time, and I always feel like, okay, no matter what people think about me when I step out on stage, in the first 5 minutes, I'll change their minds. Mm-hmm. But the first 5 minutes would be like, I'm not a cool person. I've always been a nerd. I don't think I'm pretty. I'm giant and weird looking, and I'm inarticulate and klutzy. I mean, that was like the first 5 minutes of my act.
Sure.
And I know I'm a black girl who doesn't talk like Monique. I know I talk like a white girl. You don't have to tell me. I fucking know that shit, guys. Oh my God, this is not a newsflash. You know. And so over like time, I just like embraced who I was, and I think. You know, from stand-up, you can only really be funny when you are fully and totally yourself on stage.
Well, yeah, because if you're not authentic, or if you're not, people can smell
it. They smell it. They smell it like fear.
But I also find too that, you know, when I was on stage in the beginning, when I was doing the sort of like, no, really, I'm into all this nerdy stuff and I like this stuff, you know, because I think people had this kind of classic idea in their head of like. No, nerd is like, you know, like Lewis Skolnick from Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah, exactly.
Where's the glasses and
and the pocket protector. Like, we want an idea. Where are your pants?
Yeah, exactly. They
like
can't.
This?
They couldn't wrap their minds around it. And so there was sort of a weird disconnect where people were like, that's not who you are. I'm like, no. And there's a whole generation now now there are two generations of it, but because all this technology and all these things were so much infused with our childhoods. Yeah. That it's not just, you know, being a nerd doesn't mean like, oh, I have to go out of my way to build a computer at Radio Shack anymore. Like,
no.
It's just all readily available to everyone at all times.
Exactly.
So the lines, I think, are a little more blurred. But do you feel like there are, you know, you feel like there are still challenges
for young
nerdy kids
totally.
Out there?
Well, I mean, so the question that you asked about, like, whether I feel like people decide she can't possibly be a gamer or she can't possibly be a nerd because of the way she looks. Like, that's fine. I don't really care. I mean, that gaming post was really about me not caring whether you think I'm funny or whether you think I'm cool. I just don't want you to not believe that I'm a gamer. I mean, that was really what that was about.
Yeah.
But there are always going to be people who hate. There are always going to be haters. There are always going to be people who judge. For me, I just want to be who I am. And that stuff is genuine.
Yeah.
And you know, it's funny because a lot of people tried to make that post about me being a girl gamer, but if you read it, I never once ever mentioned being a girl gamer or say misogynist or sexist ever. I never said it in that post. People inferred that somehow but I was more mad at just people saying that I was just some actress who couldn't play. Like, that, it really wasn't about being a girl. You know what I mean? I don't give a shit. I never think about myself as a girl gamer. I love to play. Some people said, even after that post went up and I got like, it's 1,700 responses and like 4,000 shares. And
that letter made the front page of Reddit.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
There were still, and almost everything that was posted was positive. There were still people who said the worst, most offensive thing they could say on there.
You know, what's interesting is that in London or in England, and I don't know how they're going to enforce this, but they're introducing
London or England.
In London, I think it's either London or England.
The UK or Britain.
So the capital of London is England, from what I understand.
That's what I've heard.
But in in it's it's a they're trying to enact this legislation that's basically says that, you know, if you attack someone online, mm-hmm. that your identity can be revealed.
I love it.
Which I think.
Don't you feel like people are assholes just because because of anonymity?
Well, I think people who are themselves and who are open about who they are at a little bit of a disadvantage.
Right.
To people who can just anonymously come in and like, yeah, fuck you, and say the worst things they can think of.
Literally, like the worst thing that they could ever think of to say to you.
That you would never, ever, ever say to another person.
Never open your mouth and say to somebody in their face. So, but those things, when I read them, I laughed because I was like, whatever. This person is unreachable and I don't care.
Right.
You know what I mean? It wasn't even about getting people to be supportive. It wasn't any of that.
No,
it was
I
just
know,
about saying what I felt.
I think for me, it would bum me out because, you know, in one sense, you identify as like, well, this is who I am and this is the group that I'm a part of. But now the group is turning on me and that really hurts because I've done pretty much everything my whole life to support this movement or this mm-hmm. cause, and I, you know,
and here comes
and it's
the
very
mean
special
kid
to me.
Smash the fat kid in the head with a rock.
Yeah, exactly. And so it just, I would be bummed out from that. Like, how can they, you know, Python is like, you know, if you're nerdy, you grew up nerdy, and like you said, it wasn't cool when we were growing up.
No, it was a thing to be ashamed of.
It was definitely a thing to be ashamed of and hidden. And I would hide, you know, hide. In our chess club was also the computer lab where we had a bank of Apple IIe computers, and we played like Zork and a lot of text-based games because that's pretty much all we could do. And
did you program in BASIC?
You programmed in BASIC. 10 print boobs, 20 go to 10, 30 run, you know, so I felt like there was a sense of like, I just want to stay below the radar. Yeah. I don't want to get, you know.
I don't want to get punched in the neck.
I don't want to get punched in the neck. I would try to hide my chess bag. I had a chess clock and a chess bag and everything in school. And so I would try to hide that because I just didn't want, it was not the norm.
Yeah.
At the time. And so I feel like, you know, we, in a sense, suffered a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, not like.
Well, we don't live in like, you know, Indonesia.
Exactly. So we haven't, you know, it's not like.
Where they don't have computers. I mean, that would really suck.
Come on, guys. Get on that. But I mean, like, you know, to a kid, it was a tormenting experience. Obviously, it could have been worse.
Yeah.
But to kind of be afraid of who you are in public and then kind of go through that and then go like, oh my God, you know, finally we can be out about these things that we love and share that experience on a global level with other people. And then a percentage of those people is like, hey, guess what? Fuck you anyway.
Yeah,
it's just
totally,
like, oh no, that's not what this is about. Why can't we be, didn't
especially
you know what it's like?
My joy being there was so genuine. Like, it's so genuine and it's so personal. And so the part of it that I took personally was the part of like my love for gaming was just impugned. You know what I mean? The rest of it saying, I don't think you're funny. What? I don't care. I don't, go fuck yourself. I don't give a shit. Whatever. I have a job to do. You have a job to do. Go away.
Yeah.
But the part about saying that like somehow this wasn't who I was, like that was the part that upset me. Totally. Yeah. But you know, I'm over it now because what happened was I got so many positive responses to it, and that was really energizing. And you know, you can't please everybody, which I never have set out to do. I think you have to please yourself.
It's impossible to please everybody. When you start trying to please everyone, then you sort of like your message gets watered down
because
you can't possibly please everyone.
Exactly.
By
the way, I don't know if you've seen, but insane amount of titties in Far Cry 3.
Really? I have not.
It was great. It was like the most NSFU presentation that like the first NSFU, NSFW, and NSFU, like the opening shot of like at the presentation was just like boobies. It was like girl boobs, then girl, then boobs. And it was like 3 minutes long.
Any dongs or just boobs?
No, just boobs.
Yeah.
They know their market.
They're still not putting dongs in games.
No, it's about time, BTW. Let's get a little Michael Fassbender up in this bitch.
Let's get some Fassbender.
Fassbender
is a game that I would play.
Fassbender. I would in real life or in a game.
Please,
wouldn't it be great if like I'd be Fassbender and then Fassbender was like, you want to play me? I was like,
joystick. I would fuck Michael Fassbender. Like that guy is just mesmerizing.
He's mesmerizing.
Weird sort of German Scottish accent or whatever it is.
Confusing. Who is he? Where is he from?
Yeah.
He's just like, like undefined North European awesome.
He's pretty amazing.
Let's have that go in a game.
I think so next year.
Next year?
Next E3, you and I can announce the Fassbender press conference. What are you playing now that you like?
Oh, my. Well, I'm behind in everything. I'm very behind right now.
That's the thing.
I'm halfway through Fallout New Vegas, which is like 2 years old.
Have you heard of this Grand Theft Auto?
I have not. Tell me about it.
Run around and hit hookers
I started
with pipes.
A lot of games, and you know, if you don't fall in love right away, you fall away. So, like,
absolutely.
Fallout 3 was so life-changing, and then it wasn't Bethesda that did New Vegas, and it felt like not as exciting. It felt a little bit repetitive to me. It felt a lot like the previous game. It didn't feel new. So I fell out of it, even though I still love that franchise. I played a little bit of Black Ops. Not a lot. I just kept saying, it's Ice Cube. That's all I could think about. I was in Gears of War 3, so I played it on campaign all the way through Insane, and then I played all the DLC.
If someone had told Little, or actually Tall, Aisha Tyler, at 10 years old, someday you're going to be a voice and you're going to be a video game character.
Never would have believed it like 2 years before it happened. It was awesome. And then I play a lot of Halo multiplayer because all my friends love multiplayer on Halo. So we just, whenever my friends are all together, it's just time for gravity, just gravity hammer time.
Is it pretty serious?
No, it's not. It's everybody in one room drinking, killing each other and laughing hysterically. Like I understand why people love to get on the headset, but I like to kill you and then laugh into your mouth.
Right.
You know what I mean? like just like open wide. Like I love that. So we play online a little bit, but I like it when everybody comes over.
Yeah.
And sometimes people come stay for like a whole like 3 days, 3 or 4 days, and we just play all day.
Yeah, I think network gaming is really important just because so much of technology is so isolating.
Yes, it is. But I don't know that online gaming is less isolating.
Well, MMOs I think are still kind of isolating because you're just in front of your computer.
Yeah, you're interacting with other people, but they could easily be AI, and you know what I mean, like or bots. They could be, you know what I mean, because you're just.
I mean, LAN parties or something, you know, like.
Yeah,
like,
if you're talking to your friends, if you're really interacting with other people that you're true, like even when you're on the headset, unless they're people you know, or like okay, for the Reach beta, you could choose what kind of interactions you wanted to have with other people. You could choose how aggressive you wanted the other players to be. You could choose what kind of language you wanted them to use. Like, if you wanted people who are super, like, kind of, like, shit talkers, or if you... And that was great.
Almost like... It was like Match.com for gamers.
It was. I like long walks on the beach.
and I like gutting
and,
people
yes, and,
with
and,
bayonet.
Yes, headshot assassinations. But because I just, you know, I hate it. And I know, and it's not just because I'm a woman or because I'm black, but because I know a lot of my white guy friends hate it, when all of a sudden it just devolves into, like, the worst kind of name-calling, and it ruins the game. Like, you'd be on a squad having a great time, and then someone would drop, like, an N-bomb, and you're like, oh, dude, really? Like, it would literally be like, I don't even care. I just don't want to be... I don't want to play with you anymore.
Yeah.
I don't want to play this game with you anymore.
Yeah.
So, I think it can be isolating in the fact that it becomes like crushingly disappointing when you realize you've been playing with a total asshat for hours.
That sucks.
You know, that's
just
the worst.
Like, well, this is over.
Yeah, oh, exactly.
The headset goes off.
Go.
God damn it!
Now
why did you have to?
I turn out the lights and drink and cry.
I brought my favorite games last year were Skyrim and Portal 2.
Portal 2 was great. I didn't finish it, but I started it, and it was awesome.
I loved Portal 2.
Did you watch the Portal that short?
Yes, with the effects guys.
I just want to hunt that shit.
I mean, like, the shot of coming out, like,
yes.
And then out of the
coming
house.
Coming out of the house, and then,
so
oh, it was
genius.
So brilliant.
I mean, Portal 2, as I've said, you know, I've said on the show before, is...
And also, it was great. It's great when a late iteration of a game is a huge leap past the first iteration of the game.
Well, yeah.
Fallout 3 was so much better than the first two
because,
games.
You know, the first one, I think, was just sort of a...
An idea.
Yeah, oh, here's a fun thing that can occupy your time
totally.
For a few minutes. That
totally.
The orange... But Portal 2, they really put some time in it. And you know, I've said... It's not just a funny game, but it's like one of the funniest things that I've ever seen in like
hilarious.
In my life.
And also like really engaging. Like it was hilarious, like all the robot stuff was hilarious. But then the problem solving was really, really fun.
Yes.
Like I love problem solving and I like problem solving and killing.
I loved Portal 2 so much, I finished it and I immediately started it over and I played it again.
How would you run your empire without
I don't, well, I, it's, you know, I just
show
was
me your other favorite
sleeping
games.
Like it.
It's like 9 o'clock at night.
Obviously Skyrim, I love.
Okay, I'm going to play it because you say so.
It's, well, I'm just warning you, it's going to consume a lot, of,
to
a lot of your life.
I don't want that to happen. I'm going to wait to finish my book.
I'm not a sports gamer, so
I'm not, I don't even... NBA Jam. Is Shaq in it?
I brought my favorite games.
Halo
I'm
Reach.
In that game. Oh, here's a list of shopping items.
Oh. Oh, yes. I really love the game Tampons. Tampons.
Yes, I like that game. Don't forget ketchup.
Fallout New Vegas.
I got both of the Fallout games.
Fallout 3.
Gears 3.
And Gears 3.
What game I played insane? I didn't bring it up, but I played a lot, was Rainbow Six Vegas.
Oh, yeah?
I loved that. I loved killing terrorists. I loved sticking the little thing under the door, and you look around, and then you put like a flashbang in the room, and everybody falls to the ground, and then you shoot them while they're wailing and writhing in pain. And that'll teach you to
terrorists.
Threaten America,
how
terrorists.
How dare you?
How dare you?
How about
you?
Some terror for you?
Right? I'm gonna make you scared.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming and playing games and talking. And it's always, I mean, honestly, I could talk to you for like another 4 hours
Me
about
too.
This shit. So we'll have to
do it at Comic-Con.
Can we do it at Comic-Con?
Can we do it at Comic-Con?
Can I come over and play games at your
can
house?
Can we play games at your house? But I accidentally swallowed one of my 10-sided die. So if you could bring yours, that would be great.
Wow. Are you okay?
I don't know. I loved it so much, I swallowed it.
I'll tell you what. When you shit it out, we can read the die and tell you how much damage you did. Oh, shit. 8 points. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's bad.
You're pretty yeah. hot.
I need a mage.
I'm a mage.
Are you a mage?
Yes, I will heal you.
You fix my 10-sided die injury.
I will heal you. It's good to see you, Aisha Tyler.
Oh, I love you.
Open it out. I love you.
Thank you so much.
Bye. Enjoy your burrito.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
I feel like I was blindsided.
Because it's a competition show.
From the producers of Jury Duty and The Bachelor.
We have scoured the earth for the 14 greatest reality contestants that were available during our production window.
Comes a reality competition show about reality competition shows.
Nobody has dared to find out who is the actual best at just being on a reality show. I'm your host, comedian Daniel Tosh.
It's win or go home.
Each episode, our contestants will face new challenges that will test their strength and lack of life skills for a chance to win $200
million.
$200,000.
Prepare, because it's about to be ugly, crying, lots of fighting.
Tayshia, I have to defend myself.
Celebrating 25 years of reality TV with your favorites.
I have diarrhea. You cannot do this to me.
What in gay hell have I got myself into?
The GOAT, premiering on Freevee and Prime Video on May 9th.